Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Platinum Executive Director Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Monday, December 21st, 2015 Moore Success Team Legal Shield Conference Call. Of course, I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. I want to encourage everyone to finish out 2015 in a very strong way. But tonight we're blessed to have one of the best trainers in Legal Shield and, of course, on our Moore Success Team. And to give him a proper introduction, I'm going to go straight to Ada, Oklahoma, to an original Millionaire Club member, a Platinum 5 Executive Director, a $500,000 ring earner who continues to lead our team after over 30 years, and that is none other than my dad, Mr. Ken Moore. Mr. Moore, are you on?
Can you hear me, Randy?
Yes, sir.
I apologize for my voice. I can barely talk. It was better a little while ago, then it started back again. So first of all, I apologize. I wish everybody a very, very Merry Christmas. And next week we'll be announcing a contest for January, so be sure and be on the call next week. Randy, I'm very pleased and honored to introduce this young man, $250,000 ring earner, platinum jacket earner, Millionaire Club member, personal development coach, best-selling author of 8 books and audios, none other than our very own Mr. Chris Hughes.
Hey, Mr. Moore, thank you, and good evening, everybody, and I appreciate the opportunity to share this evening. Am I just diving in, Mr. Moore?
Yeah, you go right ahead, Chris. I'm sorry about my voice. I do apologize.
Oh, it's all right. Well, hey, Merry Christmas to everybody, and God bless everybody during this holiday season. I'm sitting in a parking lot right now, right on the border of Utah and Idaho, and just sitting out a snowstorm and meeting up with my family for dinner. And love that we can take our business with us wherever we go. And, you know, I want to share a particular thing tonight, a specific thing about team building and recruiting. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Share my quick story. I've been with Legal Shield for 16. I'm in my 17th year now. And in some ways, it feels like it's been a couple of lifetimes. And in other ways, it just feels like I'm just getting going. I really do feel like a child, just you know, starting to figure this out after nearly 2 decades. And you know, before I was with Legal Shield, I was 27 years old, and I dropped out of college and was living in a bad part of town and behind on all my bills and obligations and hiding my car from the bank and, you know, just crying myself to sleep at night. I remember I used to bargain with God. I used to negotiate with God in my prayers and put a sales pitch on him. You know, sometimes I'd be crying and say, God, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, like I try to do the right thing, and you know, I'm not going to go to college. I'm not going to go back to college. And I'm struggling here. You know, I'm starving to death, and I feel miserable in this underemployed and underutilized, and don't feel like I'm in my divine design. You know, you created me to do something on this planet, and I don't feel like I'm doing it as a 27-year-old college dropout living in the ghetto in Fort Worth, Texas, and waiting tables at a restaurant. And that's kind of how my prayers were. And I don't know if I've ever shared this before, but I feel it's relevant tonight, and it's on my heart, and I want to share it with you. But one night I was praying to God, and I said to him, when specifically, I'll never forget these words, I said, when will you cause that this financial drought will come to an end? You know, and those were the words that I used for whatever reason. But asking him that question, when will you cause that this financial drought will come to an end? Well, that night I had a dream. And in the dream, I was standing chest deep in a body of water underneath a waterfall. My hands were stretched out in the air, and I was praising God. And when I woke up the next morning, I thought, well, that was a beautiful dream. And then it dawned on me what the symbolism was. And I remembered that the night before I had been praying that this financial drought would come to an end. And then immediately after that prayer, when I went into my dream, I was dreaming of being in water, an overflow, an abundance of water. And so I just received that as a blessing from God. And I started looking for what that pool of water would be, what that waterfall would be. And I would have to look at my journal to know. I don't know if it was a matter of weeks or just a few months, but it was around that time. It wasn't long after I had that beautiful dream that Jeff and Cindy Hughes showed me a video about Legal Shield, and the rest, as they say, is history. It was certainly not a get rich quick. You know, I cried myself to sleep a lot building my business, and you know, I did the best I could. And you know, my first year I did about $21,000. For some of you, that's, you know, not much. For some of you, it's a lot. For me, it was revolutionary. You know, an extra $21,000. And by the way, I was 28 years old by then, and I'd never made $21,000 in any single year of my life. You know, 28-year-old adult male living in America hadn't yet made $21,000. So to make 21 grand my first year, part-time in a profession in which I had no former experience, man, I was happy. I felt so blessed. And in my second year, my income went from 21,000 to 43,000, almost $44,000 in my second year. And in my third year, my income went from $43,800 to over $144,000 in income. And since then, it's turned into a multiple six-figure a year income, and I just feel so incredibly blessed. You know, I don't really value money. There's some people that, you know, they really do value the money. I don't. You know, I appreciate the money very much. I thank God for the money, but I don't value the money. But I do, and this is a fine line, I do value what the money can do for my family. I do value what the money can do for my children's private school education. I do value what the money can do for, you know, the organic food that my children are able to eat, and for the lifestyle that we have and the vacations we've been on. Mr. Moore mentioned that I've been able to write some books, and I've for years, since I was a young man, I've always wanted to write books and do seminars, and I want to be a best-selling author. Matter of fact, I don't know why, but on my dream board, I don't have time to train on this tonight, but if you know what a dream board is, or a vision board, just basically a board with all your goals and dreams, photographs and pictures and words. On my dream board, I don't know why I didn't, you know, why I picked Amazon bestseller. I didn't pick New York Times. I didn't pick USA Today or Wall Street Journal. I picked Amazon. And so I've got this picture on my wall, Amazon bestseller. I wrote a book, you know, about my good friend and business partner in Legal Shield, Mr. Travis Alexander, who was tragically taken from us back in 2008. But just wrote that book to memorialize him and in his life, and did that with Sky. And that book launched as a number one best-selling book on Amazon. And I just feel so incredibly blessed, you know, that all the things that I ever wanted in my poverty, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say. I'm going to say it again, that all the things that I wanted in my poverty have come to pass. All the goals that I created in that place of poverty have come to pass. I think of the quote, Napoleon Hill, when I read his book, Think and Grow Rich, and if you've not read it, you really, I mean, I couldn't recommend it more highly. But in his book, Napoleon Hill said that when riches begin to come, they will come so quickly and in such great abundance that you'll wonder where they had been hiding during all the lean years. And I'll never forget that first year in Legal Shield, making $21,000 and looking at that 1099 and just, you know, saying, man, Napoleon was right. You know, like, when riches begin to come, I mean, I felt so rich because I made $21,000 that year. You couldn't have convinced me that I was not a rich man. And in the second year when that 1099 showed up and it was $43,800 and some change, I thought Napoleon was right. You know, he was right. When riches begin to come, they'll come so quickly and in such great abundance that you'll wonder where they've been hiding during all the lean years, and then so on and so forth. And, you know, we're finishing our fifth consecutive year of increased income. And, you know, I think we've had, two down years in Legal Shield, you know, 2 years, one after the other, where the income was not as good as it was the year before. But, you know, I'm just, again, feeling so blessed that at the end of my 16th, going into my 17th year, that, you know, we're 5 years of increased income. And not only for us and our family, but so many people on the team are beginning to see that, and it's exciting. So I want to switch gears now. For just a moment and talk about team building and recruiting. And I got to tell you that when I was new, I thought that network marketing was icky. I thought it was yucky. I was kind of embarrassed about it. I thought, well, you know, I might recruit a few of my friends, you know, but I'm going to stay focused on selling the membership. And I had a tragic thing happen to me, and I'm so glad that it did, but it was sure embarrassing at the time. But when I was new, I started recruiting. I started selling. I sold to my roommate, sold him a membership, recruited him, sold to a friend of mine and recruited her, sold a membership to another friend of mine, recruited him. And then I heard about a group school in Ada, Oklahoma with Catherine Waldron. It was back in the day. If you want to learn about how to call on companies and corporations, all of us old dogs will remember you had to get in a car or get on a plane. You had to fly to Ada, Oklahoma, and you had to be trained by the one trainer in the company. And that's what I did. And I did that with my brothers and a handful of our new people. And I got that training, and man, I was so excited. I thought, man, recruiting is for the bird. You know, I don't want to recruit. I don't want to be a babysitter to these people. You know, I just want to go out and sell, make $1 million. And so I came home, and I had a friend that worked at a temp agency, and she had a little book that had all the phone numbers of all the businesses in Fort Worth, Texas, and their credit rating and who the CEO was and who the HR director was. And she let me take that book. And so I got my team together. I had a nice little team growing. I had recruited a few, and they'd recruited a few. I said, hey, come over. You know, I'm going to teach you how to really do this business. You know, we're going to get this thing going good. And so they all came over, and I told them about how I went to group school. Some of them went with me to group school. And I said, we got this book, and this book's going to help us make $1 million in Legal Shield. And so I said, look, I'll make the first few calls on some of these companies. Of course, we were cold calling, and I had no idea what I was doing. And one of my favorite quotes that I've coined over the years is that ignorance and arrogance have a tendency to travel together. And that was me. So we had two phones in the house that were connected to the same line. So I had my team out in the living room, and I went back into one of the bedrooms, and I called a company that started with A. You know, I mean, I just started in the beginning of the book where probably most salespeople start. And I called them up, and I said, you know, hey, can I speak with so-and-so? And the gatekeeper said, well, who is this? And I said, well, this is Chris Hughes. And she said, with what company? And I said, you know, Prepaid Legal back then, but Prepaid Legal. And she said, I told you to stop calling here, and you better not be calling. And I sat there. I hung up. I said, sorry. I hung up the phone, and I sat there in a stupor, embarrassed, humiliated, and thinking, what have I done? I just killed my entire team. You know, they're in the living room. I'm supposed to be showing them the way about how we're going to make $1 million. And I walked in there, you know, with my tail between my legs, trying to act like I had done something great. And I threw the book at them, and I said, here's the book. I said, that's how you do it. And I walked back in the bedroom to bury myself. And anyway, so I share that story with you because that I was so scared of professional selling. You know, I mean, there's some people that, like I heard Jimmy Parrish and so many other big names that came on the line tonight, Mr. Pinson, and, you know, I leave so many people out, but y'all know who you are. You know, I just have such respect for the big, you know, group producers, the people who really produce on the B2B side. I was so scared of that. And in some ways I'm thankful for that experience because it allowed me to pursue a part of the business of Legal Shield. And that's what's beautiful. One of the many things that's beautiful about Legal Shield is that we have, you know, different aspects. We've got this wheel of opportunity, and you know, I wasn't somebody that was going to fit into the B2B side. I was more naturally a networker. I was more naturally, you know, a team builder, somebody that had at least the buttings of an innate ability to lead an organization. So I started to educate myself on network marketing. I started buying all the best network marketing books. I started to learn leadership. I started going to leadership seminars. I started to learn communication and organizational behavior and, you know, recognition. And I started to study systems and strategies and, you know, really how to build this thing and how to build it big. And I would follow some of the biggest names around the company. I mean, I went to Darnell Self's team event. You know, he had 3,000-4,000 people a year come to his team event. Well, you know, I was there on the front row every year for years and years and years because I wanted to learn how to build this thing. You know, when Brian Crothers did an event, I was on the front row. You know, when Craig Heppner was doing an event, I was on the front row. When Russell Peden was running an event, you know, I was on the front row. And of course, when Ken Moore and Randy Moore run an event, you know, I'm on the front row. I was there last year. I'll be there this year in April because these are individuals that have built massive organizations. I mean, just staggering organizations. You know, I know Darnell Self is I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people that he's recruited over the years. It's just been exciting to watch. So, you know, I'll just say this, that, yes, I was uncomfortable with it, but here's what I realized. That if the United States military stops recruiting, we're not going to be the United States anymore. You know, China will come over here and plant their flag. North Korea will come over and plant their flag. Maybe ISIS will come over and plant their flag. If we stop recruiting, we're dead in the water. You know, there's nothing wrong with recruiting. As a matter of fact, you know, I was told, Mark Brown told me in the very beginning when I first got started at Legal Shield, he said, Chris, let me give you some advice. Never stop recruiting because everybody quits. I said, everybody? He says, everybody. I said, well, you haven't quit. He says, Chris, never stop recruiting. I said, hey, your stack's bigger than my stack. I'm never going to stop recruiting. You know, I'm going to keep on recruiting, keep recruiting, keep recruiting. You look at McDonald's. McDonald's has a 90% first-year turnover rate. In other words, nine out of 10 of the people that McDonald's, that any McDonald's out there hires, 9 out of 10 of those people are not going to be employed at that McDonald's 1 year later. So if McDonald's franchise owners, people that spend $1 million, $2 million to start a McDonald's, if they don't keep recruiting, they're dead. They'll be out of business. McDonald's, Inc. will take that franchise back from them, and McDonald's, Inc. will start recruiting and start staffing that company. You know, I was doing some research a couple of years ago for a project that I was working on. I rewrote and re-recorded the book As a Man Thinketh by James Allen, one of the most powerful, poignant, and transformative books that I've ever read in my life. So I rewrote it, and then I went into a studio and I recorded it. So I've got it on audio, an audio book. One of the things that I learned as I was researching his life is that he only had one daughter, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it was one daughter, and she never had children. So here's this incredible legacy, this author whose pen was guided by God, who now, you know, that family is completely gone. You know, she didn't have children, she didn't adopt children, and that family is gone. So in other words, it doesn't matter if it's a family, it doesn't matter if it's a government, it doesn't matter if it's a company or your own business. If we're not recruiting, we're dead. You know, I'll never forget, I'm so glad we've got John Addison here on our board of directors, former co-CEO of Primerica. But, you know, he tells a story about when he took over as co-CEO of Primerica, they were doing about 90,000 recruits a year at Primerica. And he said that they decided they were going to take the best that had been done in the past in recruiting and really get focused on recruiting and team building. And he, this is what he said. He said, I knew that if I ever let off the gas on recruiting, I knew that if I didn't keep the main focus as recruiting, that I was going to end up in a ditch somewhere. And that's really how I feel about it. I mean, let's look at, you know, some of the people on our team here. We got Ken Moore, Ken and Shirley Moore. I mean, God bless them. Think about the health challenges that he's had over the years, and because he built a team and he built this machine, he has continued to be blessed and sustained. And Randy and Pat Moore, same situation there. They've had, you know, health challenges in their life. It doesn't have to be health challenges. It could be family challenges. It could be some sort of a family crisis. It could be a financial challenge. I mean, you know, they were able to keep on chugging, right? Not have to worry about the finances because they built a team. You know, our own Rex Legale, I mean, he's in the Rubio Cancer Clinic right now, the same clinic that saved for us Russell Peden, and the same clinic that saved for us Brooks Werkheiser. You know, he's down there for 8 weeks spending $1,000 a day fighting for his life, literally $1,000 a day. And I talked to him about a week ago, and I said, "How you doing, Rex?" He said, "Man, I'm doing as good as could be expected. And he said, "I just got to tell you, I thank God that I got while the gotten was while the getting was good." And he said, "Chris, save your pennies, work hard, man. Recruit while you can, build yourself a team, because you never know how life might turn on you." And you know, he's able to write a check for his treatment down there, and God bless him. God bless you, Rex. And I think about Jeff Hughes, you know, and Cindy Hughes, just for years and years and years, been through the fight of their life. And it's never good when the doctor says you need to get your life in order, prepare your things, because your diagnosis, your prognosis is not good. And, you know, to not have to worry about the finances when you're fighting for your life, or you're fighting for your family, or you're fighting for your heart, you know, or for your spirituality, or for your God. Man, what a blessing that you can have that, those resources coming in. You know, in my own family, I mean, we've been experiencing a crisis, you know, in my own personal family. And the one thing we haven't had to worry about is the money. I thank God for my team. And, you know, thank God for my for the upline, for the organization, for everybody, for the whole organization. Again, you just never know. And I don't like to train from a fear-based model, you know what I mean? But I do think it's important that, you know, that we acknowledge these things. I mean, I was watching an interview the other day by Taylor Swift, and I think she's one of the most brilliant business women, business people, period, in the world, and one of the most talented people in her profession. And they were asking her about this 1989 tour that she had just completed. I can't remember how many stops they did, 70 or 80 stops around the world, filling up arenas of 70, 80,000. And they said, you know, what's going through your mind when you take the stage at these big concerts? And she said, the thing that takes my mind is, have fun and get it while you can get it, because these things, you know, these things never last, right? She says, "No, I'm not always going to be young. I'm not always going to be number one. You know, I may not always be able to fill stadiums of 70 to 8,000 people. So get it while you can get it." And that's kind of my message tonight is, and it doesn't matter if you're on, if you focus exclusively on marketing to companies, if you focus exclusively on the small business plan, maybe you just do individual sales. You know, maybe it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, it's all about leverage, right? I mean, we can recruit into every aspect of the business. And that would be my wish for all of us, is that we make 20, you know, let's close the year out strong, but let's make 2016 the best recruiting year that we've ever had. And I know Mr. Moore is going to dedicate large sums of money to help us. And there's going to be a recruiting contest announced next month that is going to blow your mind. And I'm just super excited about that. But again, leverage. I mean, here's the deal. And I shared this on my call a couple weeks ago. It'll sound familiar to some of you. But, you know, what I've found is that 95% of the people in this country at age 65 are dead or dead broke. So they're either they're either living on government assistance, family help, right? 95%. I mean, that's crazy. They're either dead, they didn't take care of their health, or they're dead broke, they didn't take care of their money. They never learned, you know, how to make money and then how to have money make money. So Jim Rohn says that success is nothing more or less than a refined study of the obvious. So as I learned about that 95%, I thought, well, what's the 5%, you know? And the 5%, really, it's about 3%, 2 to 3% that are financially independent. They're really financially independent, and they can live a very comfortable life in their golden years. So if success is a refined study of the obvious, I wanted to know, who are those 3%? And what I found out was that almost all of the 3% invariably have leverage. They have leverage in their life. Leverage in this context is that these people either had money at work for them, right? They had money in real estate. They had money in the stock market. They had money in commodities. They had money in stocks and bonds. They had money somewhere, right? So they had money at work for them. See, we only have 24 hours in the day. There's only so much work that you can do by yourself. Well, if you've got $1 million, you can put that $1 million to work for you, and you can make more money than you could ever possibly earn by doing the work yourself. You know, I've got friends who day trade, right? And they can put in $1 million on a trade, and they can pull out $100,000, you know, or $150,000 a day, right? I mean, how is it possible if you or I got a job, could we work enough hours at that job to make $150,000 for the day? No, we couldn't. That's ridiculous. You know, the reason people make staggering, you know, that kind of income is because they have leverage. Well, the other thing that the 3% have is they don't have money at work for them. They have people at work for them. You've got Bill Gates, right? Big company. Steve Jobs, big company. Ray Kroc, big company. Right? I mean, when you have hundreds or thousands of people at work for you, you don't have to go to work every day. You know, you can go to Tahiti. You can go to Africa. You can build a church or go on a mission or build a ministry, start a ministry. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. I mean, I see Legal Shield as an ATM machine. And, you know, what I wanted back in the day is I wanted an ATM machine that would kick out cash every single day of my life. And I'm proud to say I can't remember, and I thank God to be able to say, I cannot remember the last day in Legal Shield that I did not get a paycheck of hundreds or thousands of dollars. I cannot remember. I mean, it literally has been years and years and years. I can't remember the last time it was, and I pray to God that trend still continues. Now, you know, how's that possible? Because I built a team, because I've got leverage. And let me say this in closing, that there's an art to this. You know, think about this. How do you lay bricks, right? I mean, if we're going to build a house, we want to lay some bricks. Pretty simple, right? Get a brick, put some mortar on top, put another brick on top. You're laying bricks, right? Well, it's kind of like team building. People think, well, it's a piece of cake. All you got to do is recruit. You know, just get yourself a recruit and then put some mortar on it. Get yourself another recruit, and you're building yourself a team. And that sounds real good, but here's what I want you to know. If I build a house with my amateur, very limited knowledge, if I lay some bricks, I build a wall of a house, and you compare my effort to that of a professional craftsman, to that of a professional mason, are we going to have the same results? No, we're not going to have the same results. We're going to have vastly, vastly different results. And unfortunately, what a lot of people do on the team building side is they start to recruit, and because their wall doesn't look good, or because it starts to fall apart, or because it doesn't look as good as other people's walls, or because they're not getting the results, you know, that they want, they quit. They just say, well, it's not for me. I think I'll just stay focused on selling, or I'll work in this part of the business. And what I'd like to leave with you all is this. It doesn't matter which part of the business you intend to work in, and it doesn't matter which part of the business you intend to work full-time in or part-time in. It doesn't matter which part of the business is your major or which part of the business is your minor. You've got to master your craft. Whichever part of the business you're working in, no matter if it's 10% or 100%, you got to master that craft. You know, even if you recruit part-time, you've got to master the craft of recruiting and team building. It is a craft, and it is a profession. Network marketing is a profession, and it's one of the highest paid professions in the entire world. So, you know, my wish for all of us as we go into 2016 is that we not be amateurs, you know, that we not be amateurs in the B2B side, that we not be amateurs on the recruiting side, that we not be amateurs on the team building side. And I'm not saying go out and study it and then do something. I'm saying learn on the job, recruit, 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 in the words of the late, great Wilburn Smith, you know, three keys to success in our business, and Mr. Stonecipher as well. Number one, recruit. Number two, recruit. Number three, recruit. Don't ever get them out of order. You know, that's been my mantra. recruit, never get them out of order. Again, you never know when your life might take a turn on you. And while you're recruiting, master your craft. Learn how to do it. Read the books. Go to the seminars. Pick the brains of the biggest and the best team builders and recruiters in the company. And let's create some massive leverage in your life, for your family, in your business in 2016. And with that, Mr. Moore, I'm going to close up and send the call back over to you, sir. I hope that I've been helpful tonight.
You've been very helpful, Chris. We thank you so much. And I might add that recruiting is wonderful. Just build a solid foundation, and you can build that wall, and you can build it straight and strong. You know, Chris, I've been so fortunate. I have people on my team that's been on my team 30 years, and I call them my cornerstones to build from. You get good cornerstone, good solid foundation, and just keep recruiting, and everything will come to pass. I couldn't say any more than that. I'm going to turn to Randy. But, Chris Hughes, thank you. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for doing the call tonight. Randy?
Mr. Hughes, we appreciate you so very much. We appreciate your training, your professionalism. We continue to pray for you and your family. And, Chris, we hope you have a very Merry Christmas. And thank you so much for being our special guest speaker tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. God bless you and Merry Christmas. I appreciate
God
it so
bless
much.
You too, Chris. With that, Mr. Moore, I'll turn it back over to you to end the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you so very much. We love you to the bottom of our hearts. We appreciate it. We hope you have a very, very Merry Christmas, and we'll listen to you next week. God, family, Legal Shield, God bless you. Good night.
Good night, everyone.